Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. We love
it. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, July 14th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We're podcasting and live streaming from the 26th floor of the Ardea Tower here on the South Waterfront in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Looking out my window, clear skies, Mount Hood in the distance, and legal marijuana all below me. It's a great place to be and a great time to be alive. And if you're currently sitting in a state where marijuana isn't as legal as it is here, just sit tight, folks. We've got marijuana legalization coming your way. Five states voting on legalization likely this November, and another four or more possibly voting on medical marijuana. Got some surprises coming up in the news with regards to that. But also, we've got our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment today, one of my favorite segments here on the show, where we speak to former law enforcement officers, prison guards, district attorneys, prosecutors, people that have been on the front lines of the war on drugs and recognize that legalization is the only answer. Today, we'll be speaking with Joe Baldy. He is former San Francisco Police Department, so he's been there through the beginning of the medical marijuana era all the way through, and we'll talk to him on how he learned why marijuana prohibition just will not work. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant where we're going to take a look at this epidemic, as it's being described in the media, in New York City, particularly in Brooklyn, where there has been an epidemic of overdoses from synthetic cannabinoids, what they call synthetic pot or K2. They're talking about 33 people that have been taken to emergency rooms because of suspected overdoses on these synthetic cannabinoids. We'll tell you why marijuana legalization won't fix that problem. Yes, kind of caught you by surprise there, didn't I? Yeah, marijuana legalization alone will not fix the problem of K2. I'll tell you what other factors will have to change before we see any change in K2 overdoses. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have time to take a look at our government at work, where the Democrats and the Republicans have been crafting their party platforms in advance of their conventions coming up in the next 2 weeks, and they couldn't be farther apart when it comes to marijuana law reform. We'll take a look at the details in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party's planks regarding marijuana reform, both medical and recreational. Before that, we'll get into behind the headlines, because it is looking like one of the presidential candidates, Donald Trump, is about to announce who his vice presidential pick will be. We've got the early scoop on that, and we'll give you a look at why his pick would not be so good for the marijuana movement. That's coming up in Behind the Headlines, which, of course, comes right after our cannabis radio news. In the news today, we've got a decision from the Arizona Supreme Court on the smell of marijuana. We've got a hearing in Washington, D.C. on medical marijuana that was attended by one of the Project Sam board members. We'll tell you what he had to say about medical marijuana. In Las Vegas, we are looking at legalization of marijuana and how that could increase jobs in the Silver State. Madison, Wisconsin, there's a new poll out on marijuana legalization that shows an increase in support. We've got good news for our friend Ed Fortune, the New Jersey weed man, and his continuing battle to keep his temple open in New Jersey. And we've got local activists in Ohio doing what they can to change marijuana laws at the municipal level. All that's coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Plus, check out Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. In Hour 2, we'll be talking about the various ballot initiatives and how they may affect swing state voting. We've got an estimate on how much weed there is in a joint, a stupid stoner story from South Carolina, a new pot show on Netflix, some DUI busts in Oregon, and medical marijuana in...
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
North Dakota? Just cut me off there, why don't you?
legal to listen to all over the world.
We're just not sure about France.
CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they're all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know, and that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, July 14th, 2016. Phoenix, Arizona. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled that the smell of marijuana alone is enough reason for police to initiate a search. The court overturned the case of Ron Cisco, a man who had been growing cannabis in a storage unit in Tucson. The appellate court had decided that Cisco could not be convicted because the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act makes it possible that the smell of cultivating cannabis is coming from a legal source. The Supreme Court disagreed, affirming the right of police officers to conduct searches based on the smell of marijuana unless there are other observations by officers that would lead them to believe the cannabis smell comes from a legal source. The court, however, did conclude that the legalization of marijuana in Arizona this November would change the context of their decision. Washington, D.C. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham held a hearing entitled Researching the Potential Medical Benefits and Risks of Marijuana yesterday on Capitol Hill. Notable witnesses included Senators Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, and Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, co-sponsors of the CARES Act, federal legislation to allow legal marijuana businesses to access banking and to allow our veterans to use medical marijuana. Representatives from the National Institute on Drug Abuse and the Food and Drug Administration expressed optimism for studying the medical benefits of cannabis, but only as isolated compounds. Dr. Stuart Gitlow, a board member for the anti-marijuana group Project SAM, compared medical marijuana to, quote, medical willow trees, end quote, adding, quote, there really is no such thing as medical marijuana, end quote. Las Vegas, Nevada. A group that wants to legalize recreational marijuana in Nevada says the state could gain thousands of jobs by doing so. Supporters of a measure that will appear on the ballot in November released an economic analysis this week that shows a recreational marijuana industry could support about 3,300 direct jobs once it's in full swing by 2024. The analysis by Las Vegas-based RCG Economics also shows the industry could yield $464 million in tax revenue for the state over a seven-year period. Report authors say tourists would account for roughly half of the recreational marijuana sales. Nevada has allowed medical marijuana for more than a decade, but the ballot measure would allow adults to buy the substance even if they don't have a recommendation. Madison, Wisconsin. A strong majority of Wisconsinites want to see marijuana legalized, according to the latest Marquette Law School poll. The poll asked registered voters, quote, "When it comes to marijuana, some people think that the drug should be fully legalized and regulated like alcohol. Do you agree or disagree with that view?" End quote. 59% of respondents said they agreed, while 39% disagreed. The new poll is a reversal of public opinion found by the poll in September 2014, when only 46% of respondents agreed that, quote, "the use of marijuana should be made legal," end quote. Trenton, New Jersey. Ed Forshin, the activist known as New Jersey Weed Man, will be allowed to argue his religious case in court. Forshin maintains a cannabis temple that has been harassed in recent weeks by police. He contends that the temple is a place for respite from the drug war and for visitors to, quote, "partake of our sacrament," end quote, referring to marijuana smoking. Police have been shutting the temple down at 11 p.m. nightly, citing codes for business operating hours, but Forshin says that's infringing on religious rights, like shutting down a Catholic midnight mass for operating past business hours. The court did not, however, prevent the police from shutting down his temple at 11 p.m. while the court case proceeds. Newark, Ohio. Despite the failure of marijuana legalization on the statewide ballot in 2015, local organizers in Ohio are still working to improve marijuana laws. The East Ohio Decriminalization Initiative has turned over 2,000 signatures in to the city clerk for a municipal proposal to depenalize marijuana possession. Under Ohio law, possession of up to 100 grams of marijuana is decriminalized, earning a ticket and a $150 fine, plus driver's license loss for 6 months. But Newark's current city ordinance allows for a fine of $500 and 60 days in jail, with half that amount again for possession of paraphernalia. Under the initiative, possession of up to 200 grams would be a minor misdemeanor in the city, with no punishment whatsoever. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, July 14th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
get.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at the presidential race on the Republican side. And when it comes to Donald Trump, we've got good news and we've got bad news. The good news is that it looks like Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, will not be Donald Trump's vice presidential pick. The bad news is that it looks like Indiana Governor Mike Pence will be. We've been worried about the possibility of Trump picking Governor Christie because of Christie's widely known anti-cannabis views, but Indiana Governor Mike Pence is one of those guys just as reefer mad as Chris Christie is, just not quite as popular or well-known. First of all, he's from Indiana, and any state that starts with an I is always bad for marijuana. Indiana, they still have possession laws for any amount of cannabis, $1,000 fine, 180 days in jail. Indiana remains one of 8 states in the United States that does not have any form of marijuana reform. It does not have medical, recreational, or even CBD laws that places like Utah and Iowa have. Indiana is one of 8 states where there's still no sort of law like that. Idaho, and let's see, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Indiana, West Virginia, and Arkansas. And Arkansas might pass medical this year, and North Dakota might as well, too. So Indiana's going to be part of an increasingly short list of anti-cannabis states. Another indication of Mike Pence's problematic selection for vice president by Donald Trump is his focus on penalizing people for marijuana use. Back in 2013, there was a bill, House Bill 1006, that was proposed in Indiana. This was a overall change in criminal sentencing standards. Prisons are overcrowded, so we're going to change what the penalties are. And part of this was to lower the marijuana possession penalty. But Indiana Governor Mike Pence would not accept the bill unless they bumped cannabis possession back up to a Class B misdemeanor. So he was willing to let the entire bill die unless he could keep punishing pot smokers. At a press conference regarding this, Pence said, quote, "I think we need to focus on reducing crime, not reducing penalties." Mike Pence has, for a long time, been an impediment to any sort of reform in Indiana. He still is one of these reefer-mad demagogues who actually thinks that marijuana is a gateway drug. He actually still believes that. So this guy, Mike Pence, being selected by Donald Trump, is something that we can keep our eye on. It's kind of hard to tell where Donald Trump is on the entire issue of marijuana legalization. Back in the 90s, he was saying marijuana ought to be legalized, ought to be taxed and regulated. Now he's swayed back to more standard GOP talking points about, well, maybe medical marijuana is okay, but it's a states' rights thing. We should let the states do it. He's backed away from any support of decriminalization or legalization of marijuana. And it remains to be seen what his policies will be on this. He really hasn't staked out a very clear position on what would happen to marijuana laws. Would a Trump presidency be one to try to enforce the Controlled Substances Act in the places that have already passed marijuana legalization? With California likely to pass marijuana legalization, could a Trump presidency want to basically have rulings from its Department of Justice to enjoin California from moving any further forward? Maybe setting up a situation where the states that already have legalization can still have it, but no future states are allowed to develop it. How much effect would Mike Pence as vice president have on Donald Trump's thinking with regard to marijuana legalization? It's hard to tell. Some vice presidents are very powerful. I mean, you can think like Dick Cheney back in George W. Bush, but George W. Bush's dad had a vice president named Dan Quayle who didn't have much effect whatsoever. We'll keep our eyes open and just hope that Trump doesn't get elected and we have to figure this out anyway.
Or when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
How appropriate. Thank you, Liebermater, for pulling up the old Tricky Dick quote there. When the president does it, it is not illegal. Presidents are above the law. That's right out of Hillary Clinton's Playbook 101, isn't it? Oh, boy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, government at work. We'll take a look, deeper look at these Democratic and Republican platforms.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seed, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hempink, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Hello and welcome all you high-flying, die-trying, roll-a-Philly-blunt-for-your-friend hempsters, every roach-smoking bong token, however you get your THC canthusiasts, all you rebels, individualistic originals, and outside-the-box ganja warriors, you chunky monkey, Cherry Garcia, munchy-loving hempsters, all you captive earth surfers, astral travelers, and ganja-loving connoisseurs, all you high-flying, wide-smiling, ganja-rific cannabophiles, welcome to everyone except Donald Trump supporters, because that's how I really feel.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a wackabird, then I am a very, very proud wackabird.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
Today in Government at Work, we take a look at the presidential race and in particular the nominating conventions that are taking place next week and the following week for the Republicans in Cleveland and the Democrats in Philadelphia. And part of that process is adopting the party platform. Now, a lot of this is symbolic. When they talk about this party platform stuff, it's supposed to be the rallying cry for what the party believes in and what it will fight for. But it is just words on paper. And many times the party's nominee doesn't follow what is written in the platform. So with that accepted, with that understood, we're going to take a look at how the Republicans and the Democrats differ on their treatment of marijuana reform and marijuana policy. First of all, the Democratic Party already had some pretty reform-friendly language. Basically, it was what we've come to call marijuana federalism. The idea that it's a state's right to decide what they're going to do about marijuana. Their language, we support policies that will allow more research on marijuana, as well as reforming our laws to allow legal marijuana businesses to exist without uncertainty. That was the original platform. Now, part of how this got strengthened has to do with the strong support that Bernie Sanders was able to raise throughout this campaign. While Hillary Clinton has been showing herself to be the, you know, follow the polls, go along to get along politician she's always been, coming around recently to the idea that, well, marijuana ought to be rescheduled and ought to be medical, Bernie Sanders had actually introduced legislation in the Senate to legalize marijuana, take it off of the controlled substances list. Not reschedule, but deschedule marijuana. And the strength of Sanders' campaign and his supporters led to him having enough political power to get seats on this platform committee. And it was Sanders' delegates who proposed this amendment that recommends, quote, a reasoned pathway to future legalization, end quote. They say, quote, because of conflicting laws concerning marijuana, both on the federal and the state levels, we encourage the federal government to remove marijuana from its list as a Schedule I federal controlled substance, providing a reasoned pathway for future legalization. Now, we're still in the negotiating process on this, and it hasn't made the final platform yet. But if it does, if this makes the platform as of the convention in Philadelphia, July 25th, it'll be the first time any major party has endorsed marijuana legalization. A future pathway to legalization, remove marijuana from Schedule I. Now, that's not as strong as I'd like. I'd like it to be remove marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act altogether. Remove it from Schedule 1 could mean moving it to Schedule 2, something we're expecting to hear from the Drug Enforcement Administration, any minute now. They said they'd have a decision by the end of June, but that has passed, and now they're saying sometime in August, but we'll see what happens there. So the Democrats have been pretty good on this. Moving forward, understanding that, you know, when polls are getting over 50% 10 times in a row for legalization, maybe it's worth supporting. And when polls have consistently shown supermajority support for medical marijuana, even when you ask elderly conservative religious Republicans, it's supermajority support. What do you know? The Democrats have finally come along. That is worthy of praise when you compare them to the Republican Party platform. In the Republican Party negotiations, they've been negotiating for states' rights for non-smokable CBD type marijuana products, and the platform committee voted that down. Couldn't even get behind what Utah and Iowa and the entire Confederate South could get behind. CBD only laws. They could not get behind that. They voted it down. And part of this was because of the scaremongering that was going on among some of these delegates. Huffington Post reported on this. It was hilarious. Some of the things these people were saying. One was claiming that people who commit mass murders are young boys from divorced families and they're all smoking pot. Yeah, that, believe it or not, that's what we're hearing a lot from some of these anti-pot people now, is that marijuana is what causes the shooters in the theaters and the malls and the schools. It's the marijuana. Not that these guys were ever prescribed SSRIs, antidepressant drugs that have depression as that have suicide as one of their side effects. Couldn't be that. Another delegate to the GOP platform committee claimed marijuana triggered schizophrenia and is funded nationally by New York financier billionaire Democrat George Soros. Yeah, it's the big George Soros conspiracy. It's funny how George Soros is such a perfect lightning rod for criticisms, from both the left side and the right side. The right can say, oh, billionaire George Soros, leftist, open society, one world order. And on the left side, they say, oh, billionaire George Soros, Monsanto, one world order. Oh, you can't win. So, yeah, these people are even claiming that marijuana is, the gateway drug, and it's going to lead people to using heroin. So
folks, when you're trying to make that decision, trying to decide who you're going to vote for, there's a lot of issues that can influence your decision. But if marijuana is one of the important issues that influences your decision, vote for the Democrat on the ballot. If that Democrat is going to have anything to do with influencing marijuana policy, we're going to go so much farther with Democrats in office, in the House, in the Senate, even in the White House, than we would with Republicans. Now, I can't tell you to vote for specific Democrats. I can think of one at the top of the ticket, specifically, that I will never vote for. But generally speaking, when it comes to marijuana, the D is safer than the R. We're going to take a break. Cops Say Legalized Drugs is up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers? From a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What the hell are we paying you for?
Are you stupid?
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody, for our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. We've got our guest on the line. It's Joe Baldy, former San Francisco Police Department. Hello, Joe. How are you?
How's it going, Russ?
Doing very good. So glad to have you here. And could you tell our listeners a little bit about your experience working in law enforcement in San Francisco?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me get one thing straight. It was South San Francisco.
Oh, South San Francisco. I keep forgetting those are two separate places. Thanks for the correction. I appreciate that.
Okay. I served as a police officer with South San Francisco from 1987 until 92 when I was retired due to injuries sustained on duty. And during that time, one satisfying, rewarding aspect of my job was being on the front line of the war on drugs. I mean, I was a drug warrior. That's what I wanted to do. You know, I was about 6 years old when Nixon declared the war on drugs.
Yeah.
I was raised with stories of neighborhood kids who ruined their lives and their families' lives because of drugs. You know, and I thought, they're immoral people, and they need to be locked up and kept away from society. it wasn't until after years after my retirement that I began to see that the war on drugs has been failing. Since my enforcement days, drugs are more prevalent, they're more potent, less expensive, and the violence associated with the drug trade has drastically increased. Russ, we just got to look at alcohol prohibition. It's such a glaring parallel of our own drug prohibition. And alcohol prohibition created Al Capone, drug prohibition created El Chapo Guzman.
Absolutely correct. We're speaking again with Joe Baldy from the South San Francisco Police Department, former officer there. And so you went into this as a drug warrior, somebody who thought that drug use, drug peddling were immoral. Seeing the results of the drug war up close and personal, firsthand, did it cause you to change your perspective on drug use itself? Or did you just come to the realization it just wasn't working? I guess what I'm asking is, did you change your moral view on drug use?
Well, the moral view is we need to get people who have addiction problems. It's not a law enforcement issue. It's a health issue. Now, we know that some drugs are incredibly dangerous, and we're not saying to take dangerous drugs. We're saying that it needs to be taken out of the law enforcement responsibility. It's a health issue. And it needs to be treated that way. Since my enforcement days, and even since I was a young kid, I grew up in the same city I worked in. Years before I got on the force, actually my senior year in high school, we had a local drug dealer. He was a neighborhood kid, grew up, nice family, nice car. And Labor Day weekend before my senior year in high school, he was shot in the head. A marijuana deal gone bad. The suspects, both 18 and 19 years old, came in with shredded paper in exchange for money, and they shot him point blank in the head. Now, when I went to high school a couple of weeks later after Labor Day, did the marijuana in my high school stop? No. And when I was a cop years after in the same city, we still had undercover buys in that same high school, it continued. The war on drugs has failed. Prohibition has failed to stop the supply and demand on drugs.
So it sounds like you're more on the tip of it doesn't matter what moral decision we make about it. You can hate it. You can love it. We just have to determine what's the smart way to deal with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone has, adults have the right to, in their own home, if not hurting anyone, if they want to use dangerous drugs, that's up to them. Law enforcement should not be in the process of apprehending and incarcerating these people for stuff they're doing responsibly in their own home, not hurting anyone else.
This is something that dovetails into the events that we've suffered in this nation over the past week, particularly the execution of 5 police officers in Dallas. And one of the responses we heard from the Dallas chief there was, we're asking our police to do too much. We're asking them to be law enforcement and mental health and drug rehab and all of these things. Is that where you're going with this? Is that your thought that ending this war on drugs would free up our police to do their real jobs?
Absolutely. The role of law enforcement should be to support reducing the harm of drugs and stopping the violence associated with it.
Now, part of the
war on marijuana in California, throughout the years, there's been thousands of American lives, 10,000 of Mexican lives ruined by the drug gangs and cartels.
Yeah, and part of this also that I think we need to think about when we're talking about the people whose lives are disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs tends to be young people and people of color, and they tend to be impacted because their use can't be safely inside their homes. They live in, say, Section 8 housing where drug use is not allowed, or they've got relatives living there that have parole or probation. They can't have drugs around them. So what's the answer for, in a legalization world, the people that don't have the home to smoke in and not harm anyone else with?
What was that again?
What would the answer be? California's got this Adult Use of Marijuana Act coming up,
right?
And you may legalize marijuana in California, but for the people that, black folks, black youth that are getting busted because they're sitting on the stoop and they got nowhere else to smoke, what are we going to do for them?
Well, we need to legalize it. we need to legalize it so we get it off the streets. So they don't have sitting around anywhere out in the public. We need to regulate it. We need to legalize it and control it. So we get it out of the streets. We get it into dispensaries that do not sell to kids. I mean, I know legalization sounds scary, but it really is taking the illegal market away from the street dealers and bringing it into dispensaries that in California that will not sell to anyone under 21.
Well, I wonder what are your thoughts on something like a pot lounge or a public place where people could go like they do with alcohol to be able to consume together, to be able to gather together and not harm others.
I have no problem with those. I have no problem with those. I believe there should be, just like alcohol, there should be places like that that, again, are regulated, have to be 21, and if people, adults, are using it in a responsible manner, I see no problem with that.
Okay.
And that the police shouldn't be there enforcing or raiding these lounges, and I know there's a lot of communities that are interested in that, and, you know, the legality is, we probably have a way on that, but I get it off the streets, get it into regulated, licensed lounges. That sounds good to me.
All right. We're speaking with Joe Baldy. He was an officer with the South San Francisco Police Department, and he's a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, the world's leading organization of former law enforcement professionals, speaking out against the folly of drug prohibition. You can find him at leap.cc, LEAP.cc, and follow him on Twitter at Cops Say Legalize. And Joe, this is a great opportunity coming up here for California with what is now called Prop 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. And when you're out there in your communities talking to people, what are some of the concerns they have? Because, you know, it seems like most people think it's a fait accompli. It's going to be legalized in California sooner rather than later. So for those people that are still afraid of it, what do they fear and what do you tell them?
Well, the most what I hear is that because it's going to be legal, that kids are going to use it. And that's not the goal. In fact, obviously, it's the complete opposite. And once we legalize it and regulate it and have it in dispensaries and have it so you have to be 21, you know, there's, according to government surveys, there's about 1 million teenage drug dealers across the country. Mm. And what do they say is easier to buy, marijuana or beer? Well, it's marijuana. Why? I mean, there's thousands of liquor stores all over the place. Well, because liquor stores check IDs. They don't sell to kids, but the dealers do. And when kids are going to dealers for marijuana, there's also a tendency to go, hey, let's do some crack. Let's do some coke. Let's do some heroin. With the passage of Prop 64 in California in November, we will get the drug dealer, the street dealer, out of the streets and away from our kids. So our law enforcement can do other things, deal with violent crimes, rapes. You know, in Cleveland last year, where they had 400,000 rape tests that were untested, they weren't a priority. The drug tests were.
Mm. What a shame that is. You've perfectly encapsulated something we hear on the show called WOTC, What About the Children. The other thing we hear a lot as a fear is something I called SMOF, Stoned Mayhem on the Freeways. Does the legalization of marijuana worry you with respect to traffic safety, especially in a city like South San Francisco?
You know, we don't want anybody using any products that's going to impair their driving, you know, but we need to have effective laws that don't punish people for driving high. You know, is that a reason to keep marijuana illegal? No, it's just like a reason to ban alcohol, which causes far more damage on the roads. And we need to put more education and prevention and learning the proper techniques. Some states have for the THC, the presumptive test, and those are just not accurate. AAA and National Highway Transportation Association stated that those were not valuable tests because THC metabolizes different in your body than alcohol. And we need to really figure out what's the best way to find the right amount of when people are actually high while they're driving, or if it was 4 or 5 days later and they use cannabis and still in their system. Hmm. You know, that those need to be figured out. But here in California, we already utilize recognized training and best practices designed to detect roadside impairment like this. Other states, not so much.
Right. Yeah. It's not as if legalizing marijuana in California is going to legalize stone driving. It's always been illegal in California, and you guys have been pretty good at picking it up, from what I understand.
Absolutely.
One final question with just about a minute to go here. Joe Baldy, we briefly mentioned earlier the problems this country's been through with respect to police and law enforcement among certain communities. How much do you feel that this drug prohibition has led to the friction that we find between, say, African-American and Latino communities versus the police, the feeling that they're occupied?
Well, where do most cops, or where do most neighborhoods do police make most marijuana arrests? You know, they're poor neighborhoods. Well, they're especially poor black neighborhoods. But it's a big misconception, you know, that people have on the war on drugs. Because government surveys repeatedly show that white kids are, if anything, more likely to use marijuana than black kids. But when we conduct random searches, sting operations, large-scale investigations in black neighborhoods, who ends up getting popped? Well, black kids. You know, they're almost four times likely to be arrested than whites for marijuana possession. So they aren't more likely to use. And in California, black and Latinos are disproportionately arrested for marijuana. So, this, you know, the racial discrimination in law enforcement, it harms the relationships between communities and police. And that's prevalent of what's going on now.
So well put. Joe Baldy, formerly with South San Francisco Police Department, currently with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and good luck with Prop 64 this November.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Russ.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the Radical Rant. We're going to talk about K2 and zombies in New York City when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
My guests say Razzie Berry. We're talking about nature, naturopathic medicine, as well as the concept of prevention and preventing disease.
Empower people to live a naturopathic lifestyle. Get to know your body, understand its rhythms, remove toxins, and use natural alternatives whenever possible. 90 to 95% of cancers are due to environment and lifestyle risk factors. I mean, that's a huge number. That means that cancer is preventable.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Christian convictions are under attack as never before.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today in the rant, I want to talk about the headlines you've no doubt already read about this new drug epidemic that has sent 33 people in Brooklyn to the hospital. The CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley said, "Synthetic marijuana overdose turns dozens into zombies in New York City." NBC New York said, "K2 zombies at Brooklyn intersection where use is epidemic." And AM New York says, "Brooklyn's zombie apocalypse with K2. So a lot of zombie stuff in the news. Kind of funny how way back a few years ago when we were proposing marijuana legalization, they said it would lead to a bunch of pot zombies roaming the streets in search of strains in Denver and in Seattle and in Portland and in Anchorage and in Washington, D.C. Nope. It's not pot zombies in the legal states, it's synthetic pot zombies in Brooklyn. Now, this synthetic marijuana, they call it, is often branded as K2 or spice. Really, it's just some random herb sprayed with synthetic cannabinoids. And these synthetics were designed for laboratory use because the real thing, cannabis, is a Schedule I substance. And that makes researching it nearly impossible. Now, these synthetic cannabinoids, they're of varying power and effect. Because what happens is the lawmakers will make one particular cannabinoid illegal, and so the chemists will tweak a molecule here or there, an atom here or there, a bond here or there, come up with a new molecule, and then that's not illegal. So there's a lot of variance in what these chemicals are. And they're just haphazardly sprayed onto some herb-like plant material. It's not measured out by the dose or anything. So you can have an enjoyable experience with one batch of K2 and smoke exactly the same amount from another batch and end up a zombie in some viral video and find yourself in the hospital. So these synthetic cannabinoids, we also have to understand, behave in our system differently than our natural cannabinoids. Okay, so you've got endocannabinoids, which is the anandamide that you already have inside your body. Your body makes this chemical, and it triggers your endocannabinoid receptors, the CB1 and CB2 receptors that are in your throughout your brain and throughout your body. And the way that anandamide works on your receptors, to oversimplify this biological process quite a bit, but you can think of it like a tickle. Like anandamide just tickles your receptor, okay? Now we've got phytocannabinoids. That's our natural cannabinoids that we find in plants, mostly cannabis, right? We smoke pot, we get high. Well, why do we get high off of pot, but we don't get high off of our anandamides? Well, we actually do get high off our anandamides. There is such a thing as a runner's high that you can get that's kind of similar. But really what's happening here is because the THC from the plant is molecularly different and reacts slightly differently with those receptors. If you think of the anandamide as a tickle, then the THC from your joint is a nice soft caress. And your hit off of the dab rig, on the other hand, might be a full-on grope, okay, if we want to really stretch the metaphor. But it's still something pleasant, right? It's still a pleasant feeling for your receptor. So if you get to this synthetic cannabinoid stuff, this stuff was made in the lab. This stuff was made for the lab. And these scientists, they don't have the time to wait around for minor changes and minuscule differences to try to get their next grant. They want to see big effects, and they want to see them quickly. So these synthetic cannabinoids were designed not to tickle, not to caress, not to even grope your receptors. These slap the shit out of your receptors. These are a 20-year-old Mike Tyson right hook to your receptor. These are some powerful drugs. So we end up with these untested synthetic cannabinoid products manufactured at laboratory strength that are haphazardly sprayed on some herb-like plant material. And they were manufactured specifically because cannabis is illegal. people are now using those things recreationally and having disastrous results. So I wonder what we ought to do about that. Well, I checked the headlines. New York Business Journal says, after K2 overdoses turn 33 into zombies, New York City cracks down on retailers. New York Magazine says, after mass K2 overdose, police raids and protests in Bed-Stuy. And the New York Times says, police raid 5 Brooklyn bodegas after suspected K2 overdoses. Ow. Damn. Sorry. I just literally slapped my own head. Really? After all these years failing to prohibit natural cannabis, the response to the K2 overdoses is to employ prohibition and eradication tactics? I know, my listeners at this point are ready for the punchline. Just legalize natural cannabis already. It won't lead to streets full of zombies. Well, I'm sorry to throw a Shyamalanian twist at you, but legalizing marijuana alone won't end the use of and overdoses from synthetic pot. Just won't happen. It's not as if marijuana isn't available in Brooklyn. It's just riskier to possess. Possession of up to 25 grams of marijuana is decriminalized in New York, but it's still cause for police interactions that too often lead to jail. Possession of up to 8 packets of K2, on the other hand, is perfectly legal. So yeah, if we legalized marijuana, we'd remove at least the primary risk incentive to use K2, the fact that pot isn't legal. But when you start reading about this K2 problem, you'll find that there's other factors that influence and incentivize this K2 use. The secondary incentive for K2 use would be drug testing. K2 use is very popular around military bases and among sports teams. You'll also find it among people that are on probation or parole. And that's because the first panel tests that screen for illegal drugs don't catch the metabolites from K2 like they catch the metabolites from THC. So, not only do we have to legalize marijuana, we would have to end drug testing as well in order to get rid of all the K2 use. Now, I think that's achievable for many sectors of the workplace, but there's always going to be pushback for those safety-sensitive jobs. And a tertiary incentive for K2 use would be the cost. K2 use is popular with destitute populations because a packet can be as cheap as $1 from a nearby bodega. Illegal marijuana in New York City still costs $50 an eighth from a guy who might be a cop. But even here in the legal Pacific Northwest, with taxes, marijuana can still cost $20 an eighth. So not only do we have to legalize marijuana and end drug testing, but we've got to get the price of marijuana down to $1 a gram to compete with K2. Now, I think that's possible too, but not in an overtaxed, semi-legalized nation of pot smokers that still have a majority of states with prohibition. So in other words, not anytime in the near future. No, folks, there's really only one way to make K2 safer. And it's the same way we make any drug safer. We legalize it, we regulate it, and we test it. Yep, I am saying legalize K2. Just require it to meet the standards necessary for safe human consumption. It's not that these synthetic cannabinoids can't be used safely. It's that they suffer from the same problem all illegal drugs do: inconsistency, adulteration, criminal control, and lack of responsible use modeling. It's not that 33 people suddenly decided to take up K2 smoking and overdosed. These were regular consumers who hadn't gotten a bad batch before. It's the same problem we find with heroin overdoses. When consumers have access to pharma-quality heroin in safe injection sites, there are almost no overdoses. Legalize and standardize K2. We could do that faster than we could expect to end marijuana drug testing and get weed legalized nationally so the price can drop below $1 a gram. But hey, that's my opinion. I'm for legalizing all drugs. That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two. Lots of stories coming up. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it.